Hello, my name is Jose Juvonen. I work as Senior Program Manager in Office 365 Engineering. In this particular video, we're going to have a look on the introduction to SharePoint adding model transition. And with the transition, we actually mean the transition from the farm solutions or full trust code solutions to the SharePoint adding model. We used to call the adding model as an app model. It means exactly the same thing, but the branding name and branding terminology has been moved to adding model usage. So we'll start with an introduction on the topic. We'll start with an introduction on the transition and why are we actually recommend people to move this change. So what is actually the benefits and what is the real transition process also on the transition projects. So we have a lot of guidance available in the patterns and practices guidance. We have a lot of guidance available in MSDN and in dev.office.com related on these topics. So we're going to talk about the transition process. What does it actually mean? What is the recommended steps to do this transition? And what would be the considerations, including all of those individual steps? We're also going to talk about the adding model principles. So how do we approach the adding models? Why do we actually do that? What is the justification to transition there? And some customization considerations as well. Before we actually go to the topic of the module itself, let's talk about the actual developer vision within the Office 365, including the SharePoint, and that kind of an overlaps on the SharePoint on-premises thinking as well. So what we want to do is that we want to reach all of the users and all of the end users using multiple different tools, multiple different ways, and exposing the Office capabilities in for all of the different devices, for all of the different screen size, and for all of the different users. So this doesn't only include SharePoint, it absolutely includes Office clients as well, and all of the other services which we're having in the Office 365 package. And obviously, from a data perspective, we really want to make sure that you can actually access the data, access the information, the needed information in Office 365, including the SharePoint, using whatever services, whatever solutions, whatever application, whatever technologies you actually use. So you're able to actually use whatever mobile devices or connected services from a SaaS service platform as well, or just using an HTML and JavaScript to gain access on this individual services. So it's a relatively big opportunity for the developers to actually start building on this options. We do have 1.2 billion users in the Office worldwide, including SharePoint. So this is absolutely a big opportunity for the applications to reach those end users and really reach the end users and to be able to give your applications for them to use. Specifically on this particular topic, we're going to concentrate on a SharePoint Online and a SharePoint transition. So technically, we always talk about transition from full-fledged code to the app model quite often in the context of Office 365. Just a reminder on the things as well, this absolutely applies on the on-premises as well. So we recommend in the on-premises side to do the transition to the app model as well. So you actually write once and it works, your customization works in on-premises or within the cloud. And that guidance is evolving all the time. In all of our modules, we will have a one slide, which is essentially showing the key topics of the module. And it's a one summary slide when we start the module and one summary slide when we end the module. If we think about the key topic and key content of this module is essentially pretty simple. Move gradually to the adding model or so-called app model as well. And that's really the key point. You don't have to go there and jump in a single day. You can start the transition gradually based on your existing solutions, based on the life cycle of those solutions. Farm solutions are fully supported in on-premises still, and they will be, but we recommend gradually start moving to the adding model. We really want you to align with the service and product roadmap, and that's where the adding model is where we are actually adding or bringing all the big investments and innovation in the future as well, for both cloud and for on-premises. From a transition perspective, we really want to concentrate on the end users. So having a look on the code doesn't actually give you the insights how the end users are actually using the code or how the code is exposed for the end users. So whenever we start thinking that this transition to the app model, you really want to concentrate on the business requirements and the functional behavior of that solution. Having an analysis on the existing code is beneficial as well, but the real value comes from understanding how does the end user actually use that existing code, not just analysing the existing code and then trying to figure out how to implement exact one-to-one within the app model. That would be a wrong approach to take. And the fourth option, fourth point, is also avoid sandbox solutions. So we are actually moving away from the feature framework, moving away from the to remote provisioning and remote provisioning technologies or approaches. And we're going to talk about that one during many of these modules slightly later. So let's start with an introduction. Let's start with a reasoning and kind of a thinking through. How did we get here? What are the challenges between the individual options and other options? And why are we actually moving into the app model? If we think about the SharePoint itself, if we think about the really the growth of the SharePoint 2007 was a massive hit. That was the biggest growth product we had at the time. And that was implemented, well, the customizations were implemented in a way that you took advantage of the feature framework. You implemented server-side code, you attach your actually server-side code then to the master pages and page layouts and all wrote the web controls, and then you use feature framework to actually deploy the customizations to the SharePoint farm. So you took advantage of the Fortress code, the farm solutions to do that. As part of the SharePoint 2010, we already then released the new ways of utilizing or accessing the services within the SharePoint itself. So we still supported the server-side server-side Fortress code solutions, farm solutions. We also introduced the sandbox solution, which was one way of making sure that the code itself cannot actually harm the SharePoint farms, because quite often, actually, these customizations, they were not necessarily well written, or there was quality issues, so they might have actually even taken down the SharePoint farm if you were using a farm solution option. So the sandbox solution was one of the ways of actually, especially deploying a declarative assets to the site collection level in a safe way without causing downtime. So you were able to, for example, deploy a new master pages and new functionalities to the sites without the downtime at all. And then as part of the 2010, we also released the first version of the client-side object model, which was available for managed code, for JavaScript, and also for Silverlight. So you were able to take advantage of remotely accessing the SharePoint and let's say, showing the information in SharePoint within your application. But they were pretty limited, and it wasn't really a full story. There was also some level of a lack of real permission management, for example, for the CSAM API. So we were always using the context of the user. So you would not be able to take advantage of a typical elevation of privileges capabilities. So as part of the SharePoint 2013, we then released a completely new model, which was the app model, nowadays add-in model, where we actually start moving the code away from the SharePoint. So we really want to take advantage of let's say, not compromising the SharePoint itself whenever you're, well, not causing downtime, for example, whenever you're patching the SharePoint customizations, and also using the SharePoint more as a service-oriented platform. Really taking advantage of those capabilities, what we have in the SharePoint, like the user profile, permissions, taxonomies, search, and so on within your applications. And there's a powerful APIs, remote APIs, which have been evolving all the time based on the community feedback, how you can actually create site collections, manage settings, manage user profile, getting access of all of this goodness, what we actually have within the SharePoint or in the Office 365 using these remote APIs. Either using the JavaScript or the client-side libraries and the RESTful APIs or the JavaScript object model, or then using the CSAM object model from the provider-hosted application side or add-in side, or then why not using RESTful interfaces from there as well. It's a really powerful technique, and especially now that we're evolving after the RTM version, we're actually pretty much able to do the typical customizations using the app model techniques, which then means that you are able to bring all of your typical customizations to the cloud as well. So you're able to, for example, create a reliable ways of provisioning site collections. You're able to have custom controls in the pages built using JavaScript rather than old school web control way of implementing them. Looking back on that kind of the full trust code or full trust solution or farm solution challenges, when you think about it, there are certain downsides or there are certain challenges related on full trust solutions or farm solutions. So the full trust solutions are using ghosted files, and that's a really old terminology. But essentially, what it means is that the files or the sites and the SharePoint is related and dependent on files within a file system. So whenever we deploy a new version of the farm solution, we added a feature there with the module element. We activated that feature within the site. In the site, that file, for example, a master page or a page layout or a CSS file, was visible and in the context of the site that was available. Technically, what happened was that we are actually combining the information within the content database and information within the file system, so-called 15 hype. And then we render that in an HTML format for the end users. From an end user perspective, that's just visible. The end user doesn't actually understand is the assets ghosted or not. But from a operational perspective, it actually has a pretty big impact. So as an example, if you really want to move from one site collection to another SharePoint farm, or you have a disaster recovery plan for your SharePoint deployment, you really need to make sure that you're in sync with the version what you have deployed as a sandbox, as a full trust code solution, as a farm solution to the file system, and then the content database. And without that farm solution or full trust code solution within the installed to the farm, your site collections might not work, or some of the pages might not work, which is actually even more horrible than the fact that everything would not work. The random issues from an end-user perspective, then you're losing credibility from the service. So there's an implication on the disaster recovery model, on the ALM model, and all of that. One of the other downsides or challenges of the farm solutions is that the deployments always cause downtime. So whenever you actually deploy a new version of the farm solution, you cannot actually deploy that without causing downtime. The downtime might not really be a big downtime, but there is a service interruption. Every single time we deploy a farm solution, we need to recycle application pool. Whenever we recycle application pool of the IIS, we will actually impact the end user behavior on that farm. And that essentially means that there's an impact on service level agreements. And quite often people are forced to do patching then on weekends or non-business times. And in the current world, when you think of it, when is non-business time? In a 24/7 time frame, every single time is actually somebody's business time across the world. And that's not really a viable solution. We do have some designs for SharePoint deployments where you are actually reaching near zero downtime, but that would require highly expensive investments for the infrastructure of your deployment. The full trust solutions have to be also closely analyzed. So do you really trust the solution fully? Because it is actually fully trusted, which means that the solution can do whatever it actually needs to do. Whatever it wants to do. So you really need to make sure that that code is actually reliable and it's implemented in the right way before you're installing that to the SharePoint farm. Technically, that farm solution or full trust code solution can actually do whatever operations within your farm. So you really need to be sure what the code is. And that then has an implication to the actual application lifecycle management process. So somebody has to review, somebody has to approve, somebody has to make a decision, is that code good enough to get to the production farm? And also the farm full trust code solutions are not available in Office 365 in the multi-tenant or in the dedicated platform. And that's one of the really big downsides because more and more customers are moving to the cloud. And we really don't want to, from a developer perspective, you don't want to think about the cloud or on-premises as an exception. In the best case scenario, we write a code and the same code works in both sites. And then you are able to reach multiple customers and multiple deployments in a better way. Some clarifications also on those statements. Will farm solutions be deprecated soon? The answer is no, we're not deprecating farm solutions. So for the on-premises, farm solutions will be supported in the SharePoint 2016 and the future on-premises versions as well, because the solution has been built using the farm solutions. So we're not actually taking this capability away. But all of the investments what we're doing are actually adding or done on the adding model side. So all of the investments and innovation is actually more on the remote APIs. Then the common question is, what about then the sandbox solutions? Okay, so right now we are in a situation where the code behind sandbox solutions have been already deprecated. The deprecation means that we do support them, but we don't make any future investments on that, and it might be that the capability is moving away. So depending on when are you watching this video, it might be there or might not be there. So it really shows the direction where we're heading with the sandbox solution. One of the challenges of the sandbox solution is also that you don't have a centralized control. And what we mean with that one is that individual site collection administrator can actually take whatever sandbox solution, activate that to their sites, regardless what it actually contains. And that might or might not cause issues within the site. And that's really kind of a bad from a overall enterprise level controlling perspective. So you can actually, you don't know what are these individual site collection administrators doing, because quite often, in the case of larger enterprises, let's say project managers need to have a project site, they actually gain site collection administrative permissions. So there's a lack of centralized control on that side. There's a possible orphan issues with deactivation. Technically, sandbox solutions don't work that well, or almost at all, whenever we start retracting the sandbox solutions. And this really comes down on the fact that how the feature framework works. And the feature framework still haven't, well, it's never been actually designed to remove stuff. It always has to be designed to add stuff. And deletion with the feature framework is always difficult. And also when you think about the versioning and updates of the sandbox solution, you can't really version with the feature framework, especially in the sandbox solution side. And even within the farm solution, the versioning framework wasn't that flexible with the feature framework. And that means that you always have to still fall down, or your backup plan is to run code, run remote operations to these sites or server-side code, and then modify the sites as your versioning story, which is definitely not optimal from a overall lifecycle perspective. And also in the sandbox solution side, even though Visual Studio, actually the latest versions of Visual Studio are highly improved, so you don't actually have to understand DDF files or whatever, make cap XAs to actually compile the WSP packages, which was great. But at the same time, you needed to understand the SharePoint isms. And with the SharePoint isims, we mean feature framework insights, because all of the, even though we had powerful wizards in Visual Studio, not all of these settings which you every now and then need to modify within the farm solutions or in sandbox solutions were exposed using Wizard. So you needed to understand the XML structure, you needed to understand how and what order the things are provisioned to fully take advantage of the sandbox solutions. So then the common question with this one is, wait, so you actually are meaning that no feature framework in the future. And this is where we are heading. We are gradually moving away from the feature framework due to multiple different issues and multiple different reasons. Using the remote APIs, we can actually achieve exact same end result with the feature framework. And we do have a powerful community programs and projects which are actually building exact same capabilities as with the feature framework. So if you need, you are able to do XML-based configurations for the remote operations as well. But then you are not limited on the feature framework, the native feature framework issues, what we're having with the sandbox solutions and farm solutions. So as a summary on those things, technically we have three different options to do customizations within the SharePoint. We have the farm solutions, which are fully trust solutions. Customizations are deployed to the file system of the server. They're hosted in the same process as in SharePoint. Essentially, you might think of them as an add-ons directly to the SharePoint itself. So you're building on top of the SharePoint code directly on there. You're not actually taking advantage of the APIs in some level, you are almost working in the same way as we, as in the Microsoft, are building the product. And it's a classic model from 2007. You might have learned how to do that, but it's not that flexible due to all the implications from an operational perspective, and also the implications that you need to really understand how the framework actually works. The sandbox solutions, the code behind of the sandbox solutions, already deprecated, and well, you can still deploy individual assets to the site collection level. We're lacking that centralized control. We're lacking it's not really an enterprise-ready solution, unfortunately. And then we have the SharePoint add-in and the SharePoint add-in model, which is essentially giving us the flexibility of using the SharePoint store apps, but also from an enterprise perspective, we're able to deploy your individual apps and permissions to the corporate catalog. So you don't have to use the SharePoint store. You're able to take advantage of the corporate catalog, where you are able to then publish your applications to the farm users. And you can also manage the permissions and licenses specifically. It's based on OAuth, it's based on industry standard models to actually build these solutions. It's definitely the preferred option and to get started on the customizations or to start the transition to the new model. Good. Let's have a look about the approaching the add-in implementation. And this is pretty much the same story with transformation, the add-in model. So if you have any existing customizations within sandbox solutions or in farm solutions, this is the model we've been using internally with many of our customers, where we are helping these enterprise customers move from the farm solutions to the app model or add-in model. And we have five stages within the process what we go through. And there will be additional guidance released on this one in the MSDN as well. But we always start with the readiness. We really want to make sure that the customers and the partners and the IT people who we work with, they understand what is the app model topic. What does it actually mean from a business perspective, capability perspective, and also from an implementation perspective. You also should immediately start clearing the hosting decisions to how do you actually build your on-premises hosting for the app model, which technically means that you need to have two additional servers at least so that your hosting platform is load balanced. And quite often, actually, on the hosting decisions, quite often people say, wait, this is additional servers, which is absolutely true. It is additional servers. It's isolation for your code, so you're able to version that code regardless how the SharePoint is actually versioned and what are the operations within the SharePoint. In the same way as with the Office web apps for on-premises, we needed two additional servers. In the same way, we would need additional infrastructure for the app model hosting in on-premises. Within the cloud, it's recommended, absolutely recommended, to use the Microsoft Azure as the provider, the PaaS side, as the platform as a service side of the Microsoft Azure as the hosting platform. So you're able to take advantage of all the flexibility of the Microsoft platform as a service platform, and not to think about the operational impact and operational maintenance within a server side. We need to also consider the network impact analysis and also make sure that the developers and development model, we do have a readiness to kind of start understanding what are we going to talk about within the following steps on this transition or app model or add-in implementations. The following stage is to really do the assessment. Analyze the possible existing solution usage. So if you have a farm solution, analyze that and really concentrate the functionality itself. So obviously, the code is important as well to understand if there's any hidden functionalities in the process, but really concentrate on the business and functional requirements, not on the technology itself. If you have a look on the farm solution, you have no clue how the end users are using that if you just look on the code. Having a demos, having how it's screenshots, and having really a discussion with the end users and the owners of the solution is really, really important. And then after that, we do our actual planning, kind of a high-level planning in our projects, how this will be then implemented as an app model or adding model, what would be the solution design and the architecture, what kind of patterns and models will be used by different solutions, what solution can be converted to out-of-the-box capabilities. So if you can, absolutely take advantage of the out-of-the-box capabilities to reduce the cost impact. And this is precisely the timing when you would have to the sufficient amount of information to take and make accurate estimates. So as a rule of thumb, we recommend people to go through the steps 1, 2, and 3, really understand where we are, what is the functional requirements, and then make a high level plans, where are we actually heading, and after that make the estimate, which you can communicate with the owners of the site, owners of the solution. And then we move into the actual implementation, the detailed technical planning, detailed technical implementation, and doing that as a separate kind of a step within the progress, really making sure that the actual development activities is happening and all of that. And then the final thing, obviously, is deployment, getting that adding solution, adding plan, adding model-based implementation deployed. We might need or might not need to some existing content retrofitting. What it means is that we're transforming the existing content not to be dependent on farm solution, but to be dependent on the add-in implementation. And then the final step is obviously extracting the farm solution from the farm, if this is an existing farm which you're transforming to the model implementation. Like mentioned in the steps, really concentrate on the functional requirements, not on the technology. So the key point and the guidance on this one is that there are numerous different ways to actually achieve a similar end result. So don't get stuck on what you had. One web part doesn't mean an app part, or if you had a timer job in your existing farm solution, it doesn't mean, and we don't support timer job as such in the app model, but you can actually implement exact same end result using a remote timer job option. So there are multiple different ways of achieving the exact same end result. It's really important what is the end result and what are we trying to do with that functionality. And then we just take a step back and start thinking that, okay, that's how it was implemented using farm solution, how we would implement that using the add-in model solutions. So how we would approach this using the remote APIs, and then you'd come up with a new design for your solutions. Good. Let's move into the adding model practices. So some high-level thinking, and what do we mean with the adding model, and what does it actually mean from a overall perspective? Really, if you think about the impact of the customizations, the maintenance and operational costs, it has an impact on the maintenance and operational cost, including availability changes. Especially in farm solutions, this was much more meaningful. Agility to deploy new functionalities and widgets. So depending on your customizations, you might have a short or long time frame how fast you can actually modify your UI or add additional widgets and functionalities to your SharePoint deployment. Typical example is that in a farm solution time frame, you really needed to trust that farm solution. So therefore, somebody needed to review the code, somebody needed to do things, even though it might have been a really small change within the customization. In an app model side, you cannot actually harm the farm in the same way. So it's much more safer to push those functionalities and so you don't have to have such a detailed level of review on the customizations. And obviously the long-term roadmap impact. So how do you actually maintain, whenever you move across different versions from 2010 to 2013 to 2016, how do you actually modify and what are the needed modifications within your customizations when you do that? The app model or adding model is dependent on remote APIs, which we have a backward compatible support in the future as well. Just to clarify one of those things, so what do we actually mean with the add-in model or SharePoint app model in our terminology? Because this is confusing a lot of people. So obviously we do have on the left side, we have the classic farms full trust solution, the farm solutions, and these still are supported, like mentioned. But they are more for the ISV solutions, more the platform level customizations for on-premises, custom service application, custom WCF endpoints. Really, it's a SharePoint customization, not a customer-specific customization as such. Then on the right side, we have the store add-ins and apps their side. We had the adding catalog-based solution. So you actually upload something and an app to your catalog, or you download that from the store and start using that. But it's not actually the full story. Quite often when we start implementing, in quotes, the add-in model implementations, we actually fall on the middle section. And what we mean with the middle section is that we start thinking, where do we run the code? It might be that we have a JavaScript embedded on the page layout, or even in a master page, or we add a JavaScript take advantage of the JavaScript embedding pattern, where we add a JavaScript on the site without an actual SharePoint app to be installed on the site. Or it might be that we take advantage of the remote provisioning model. And what we mean with that one is that we remotely create your site collection or site, and then we apply the customizations on top of the site. We use the CSAM and RESTful APIs to add content types, site columns, and all of those things to their sites without actually implementing a farm solution or feature framework elements. But it's not really an app. It's something which is running outside of the SharePoint, remotely operating on the SharePoint itself, and applying the needed and required customizations. And really, the embracing the uncoded models means that we're modifying stuff within the SharePoint using these remote APIs, and we're modifying the stuff within the content database. So all of your content databases within the on-premises, they actually don't have any dependencies on external files. So you can actually take a content database, move it across your environments, and all of your sites will still work, regardless of the fact that you don't have customizations deployed on the file system. And this is really the SharePoint add-in dimension, and also the recommended. It's kind of an alternative dimension on the SharePoint add-in thinking. So it's not really an app. It's running stuff outside of the SharePoint and operating with the SharePoint, regardless on the fact that it's not an add-in as such. And it really comes down on understanding, what do you want to achieve? So what is your business requirements? What is your business objectives for the customizations? And then thinking through the options, like mentioned a few times on the presentation already. Quite often we hear that the adding model is a pattern for cloud, not for my on-premises. And this is not really actually true. We want to target the add-in model for on-premises as well. And there's a lot of additional guidance coming on the on-premises guidance on doing this. And this is also the recommended pattern for the on-premises to build your customization on. And the key point of this one is that you really implement your customization once, and it actually works within the cloud and within the on-premises. So therefore, even we do have customers who've done this transition from farm solutions to the add-in model in on-premises, just for the sake that they have the freedom. They can then decide if they want to go to the cloud and when they want to go to the cloud. It's up to them to make that decision. But the customizations are not limiting that decision. So the customizations on themselves are implemented in the way that they work in the on-premises and in the cloud. So if that decision comes that we move to the cloud, the customizations won't be actually the factor to consider with that transition. So we really wanted to embrace the SharePoint adding model within the cloud and within the on-premises. So it's more about for getting full trust code solution, embrace unghosted deployment models, run the code outside of the SharePoint context, either using the CSAM APIs or RESTful APIs for accessing still the SharePoint services. It's really much more than just adding add-ins marketplace. You can take advantage of these capabilities using just console application or actually PowerShell. So using a remote APIs, using a remote PowerShells to create the sites and applying the needed configurations. And there's awesome community work being done on these areas right now, which definitely recommended to have a look. And this is also for on-premises, not only in Office 365, like mentioned quite a few times. And really, looking back still on the let's say the recommendations, we've been talking about this one quite a few times already, but kind of thinking of treat this true from a slightly more higher perspective, from an enterprise architecture perspective. If you think about the classic evolution of SharePoint or classic versioning and the customization story with SharePoint, whenever we run code in SharePoint 2007, we then had to, and the SharePoint 2010 was actually introduced, you needed to actually build or engage or create an upgrade project, because many of your customizations didn't work as such in the SharePoint 2010. You needed to actually do that a significant upgrade project. Quite often it was to actually custom master pages and the branding elements because of the change of the branding technologies. And then within the 2010, whenever you moved to the 2010, we came up with a new version, SharePoint 2010. 2013, and again you were forced to invest on the upgrade project to gain access on the latest and greatest functionalities, what we are releasing within the SharePoint. And again, the cycle would actually go forward if you continue using the farm solutions. So really, you need to do a significant upgrade project each time when the new version is introduced, because you need to upgrade your customizations. And that will also cost additional cost during, essentially, it will cost additional cost during a release cycle of the customizations, and the complexity of ALM processes to ensuring the quality of the code. So now where we are heading is more evergreen thinking and the release cycle. So whenever we implement this customization in a loosely coupled way, we try to target the business strategic away from the SharePoint. Partly it might be still in SharePoint, but maturity of the code can be outside of the SharePoint. We implement these customizations in a separate way. We do have a backward compatible API. So the remote API approach actually works as such within the SharePoint 2016 or whatever we will call then the future versions after that. So you don't, those customizations don't actually block you to gain access on the new capabilities within the SharePoint or the new capabilities within the Office 365 either. The customizations, they extend. They do not actually change the SharePoint behavior. And they can be updated with minimal impact on a SharePoint site or without impact at all. Because if the code is running outside of the SharePoint and we do have a backward compatible APIs to talk with SharePoint, take advantage of the search, take advantage of the user profile, taxonomy stores and so on, we don't actually need to have any impact whenever the new version of the SharePoint is coming. And this really comes down on a detailed implementation guidelines. If you do still modify the SharePoint UI significantly using the app model techniques, then yes, there might be an impact whenever we move to the following version. But it will be a significantly less compared to the farm solution approach. So it's definitely more beneficial to move to the app model techniques. And quite often when we introduce this model, especially when in the RTM timeframe, people were more in the denial on this model. They didn't want to accept the reality where we are heading with the app model and what are the benefits, because yes, it's absolutely true, it's a new model. We need to learn a new way of doing thinking. The good thing about the new way, however, is that it's absolutely Microsoft is committed to this add-in model or app model, and this is the product roadmap. This is where we are heading with Office 365 and within SharePoint on-premises. So that's not going to go away. And it's actually taking advantage of the native web technologies. So we're not introducing a new model, completely new model, completely new way of doing SharePoint customization. We're actually making SharePoint to follow the typical SharePoint, typical web development guidelines and typical web development technologies. And that will have a positive impact, not only for getting additional people interested on SharePoint and additional people who are able to move to the SharePoint as a customization platform, but also for those guys who are and girls who are implementing stuff on the SharePoint, their skill sets, when they will be pruning that with an app model and add-in model, their skill set is actually matching whatever is being done in the ASP.NET side without a SharePoint as well. So it's actually increasing the skill sets for every single developer to align where we're heading within the web technologies in general. And this is pretty much a similar thinking as if you are an old school person, you've been around for a while. Whenever we introduced the feature framework and solution packages at the time of 2007, it's almost as similar change. It might be a denial and it might be that, oh, this is a big change for me to learn. But you weren't very able to learn the feature framework. You were able to learn how the solution packages are actually working, even though it's a completely different model. There's nothing else and no other solution other than SharePoint, which is actually taking granted of that pattern. Or the classical story, if you ever actually deep dived in the SharePoint XMLs, if somebody actually told you that you need to learn the CAML, the SharePoint XML way of querying and creating, for example, the schema XML files for the SharePoint list definitions, that's a really tough thing to do and a tough thing to learn. So it's an evolution of our knowledge. all of your existing skills and all of your existing knowledge within the SharePoint is still highly valuable because you actually understand how the SharePoint has been built. You understand how the SharePoint behaves. You understand what functionalities we need to enable and disable or configure using the RESTful APIs. We just take advantage of remote APIs to then gain and enable the same capabilities using a slightly different approach. And the key point, like I mentioned already, the SharePoint add-in development and the app model development is exactly the same as normal web development. So if you do know a web development, you actually know SharePoint development as well. If you are more a SharePoint developer, it's a really good chance to actually move into the app model side and adding model side gradually. You'll get there, step-by-step learning this transition, because then you're not actually limited on a SharePoint within your career moves as well. You actually know web development, so this is a win-win for both sides both sides of the thinking. And just to be clear on some generic statements, will we ever support farm solution in Office 365? Answer is no, we can't. That's absolutely not a viable option within the Office 365 because we can't trust farm solutions. They are deployed in a farm level. It's never going to be supported. Typical questions what we get related on the app model or adding model is that will you introduce the new model for adding model replacement in the near future? And answer is absolutely not. We're highly committed on doing this. All of our investments are on the app model side. And we continue evolving that. Office 365 APIs is a good example. It's evolving on the same knowledge and same learnings and same approach what we have in the adding model, in the SharePoint adding model. So whenever you actually move to the SharePoint adding model, it will give you the learning steps and the stepping stones to move to the Office 365 APIs as well. So you are more easily adaptable and you can more easily understand the approach where we're heading with many of our services in the Microsoft Azure side and also in the on-premises. Quite often we hear that I can't do X and Y and Z or whatever that statement is within the adding model. And that's quite true. There are technologies and approaches which we cannot actually do using the app model. But we can do, as a typical example, could be something like, well, I cannot customize my site or OneDrive for business site using a farm level feature stapling or using the adding model. But we do have an alternative pattern to do that. So we do have an alternative ways to achieve the exact same end result from an end user perspective and from a functionality perspective. The approach which we take is slightly different. And we are working internally and externally already on much more detailed guidance on recipes on how do we actually do the transition. So if you were doing, for example, OneDrive for business customizations or MySite customizations in the farm level and farm solution level, what would be the story within the add-in model? And then we provide the examples of doing that. So there's quite often, the route might be slightly different, but from an end user perspective, as an example, the OneDrive for Business site will have the custom branding there, and it will have the needed customizations from a configuration perspective. So the approach might be different, the end result is still the same. And just to summarize the things, we went through the recommendations and the summary already. So move gradually to the adding model. You don't need to jump there in a one night. Move there gradually, learn the thinking, take advantage of the community-driven programs and Microsoft messaging and guidance what we have on how to do that transition. Aligned with service and product roadmaps, we are moving there from an on-premises perspective as well. Concentrate on end users. Concentrate on end user functionality. How can I enable that functionality using add-in model techniques? How can I enable the end user to perform the needed functionality using add-in model techniques? And then also avoid sandbox solutions. They are deprecated and they are supported still, but we're moving away from the feature framework gradually, and so we recommend gradually moving away from the sandbox solutions. This is a recording video, so I'm not going to actually take questions. The key point for all of this guidance, all of these resources, especially from a transition perspective, but also in general in the app model side, we do have Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices, and this contains guidance also for on-premises. So HTTP, AKMS, Office Dev BNP, you will land at our dev.office.com Dev Center, where you're going to find additional guidance and additional results. This is an open source, community-driven program. where we are actually taking contributions from internal programs, but also from community on how things can be implemented within the add-in model. And we share those learnings across the community, for example, using the Yammer network. So AKMS Office Dev BNB Yammer is the address for that one. And there's a few other links, what are we using, where you can find additional guidance, additional videos, official guidance in MSDN related on the adding model implementation. The one landing page which you want to also remember is the dev.office.com. You will find every single thing to get started from this one location. So if you need to remember only one URL, go to dev.office.com and you can actually find the patterns and practices inside of there as well. It has training, it has guidance, it has all the getting started guidance on how to do the transition. And then we really want your feedback. We do have an Office 365 network. There's really highly active discussions in the Yammer groups where you can ask questions from the Microsoft and we'll help you on the transition. We'll help you on the adding model work what you're being done. Give us feedback. Give us suggestions. If you are frustrated with something, let us know. We want to help you on that movement. We have a Stack Overflow discussion, ask deep dive technical questions to worldwide set of developers and underneath the Stack Overflow. And then the user voice. We've been already making significant updates and improvements in the remote APIs based on the business requirements and based on the business justification and needs, what you as a customer and partner has been giving to us. So there has been constant evolving in the client-side object model and the RESTful APIs for cloud and for on-premises. What are we exposed and what you can do with the add-in model? Please keep on using that user voice as the channel to let us know what do you need to have, what is blocking you to do the transition, what is something what you don't like, what is the version what you like, or the positive feedback and the open communication more on the Yammer network. And that's all we're going to do within this video. So thank you for your time, and hopefully this is beneficial for you. This was an introduction to the adding model and the thinking. Why are we doing this transition? Why is it beneficial for you as well? And showing all the resources, showing all the recommendations where we are heading. Within the other videos, we'll go through much more detailed on the technical implementation, how you can enable technologies, how you can enable functionalities using the add-in model techniques. So thanks for your time, thanks for joining, and hopefully you were enjoying watching the video. Thank you.